Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What is up, Star fam? Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. to hear the colors and see the music. I'm your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, May 20th, 2011. We have an awesome, really good show tonight. And joining me tonight on the show is Jacques Fresco, a futurist, a visionary. I believe one of the most important people of our times, and I'm going to get into that. He is one of the visionaries that will, I believe, will lead the way and to where we are heading to with the shift, with what's coming up, with our sustainability and our consciousness. His entire vision is thevenusproject.com. Very briefly, the Venus Project is an organization that proposes a feasible plan of action for social change, one that works towards a peaceful and sustainable global civilization. Everybody, all together. It outlines an alternative to strive toward where human rights are not only paper proclamations, but also a way of life. It's unifying everything together in harmony. And we're going to get more into that, more into Jacques. But first, let's go right into the news. We've got a lot of stuff to update you on. And one of the most, I have to start off by saying this, and one of the most enlightening, brightest days of my life, I could say, happened yesterday. And I just want to briefly talk about my own experience. And that was with, I met someone this week, a new member of the Star Fam. I met Pancho. For those of you who do not know, Pancho is one of the 13 crystal skulls. I was here in Asheville, and a friend invited me to a Keratone thing downtown and went there. And after that, they announced that Pancho was coming for a full moon ceremony. Now, Max was in Asheville a few months ago, about 6 months ago, and I didn't get a chance to catch Max. A little upset, no worries. So afterwards, a friend of mine, Wendy, was there and said, let's stay for that. So we did. And afterwards, I got a chance to speak with the guardian, Mario, of Pancho. And that experience, I can't even put into words, because it was like I had found a lost brother. And the following evening proceeded to where Mario and the crystal skull Pancho were at my house. And I got to meditate alone with it and really tap into some energy. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. And on top of that, I invited Mario and Pancho to the Zen 11/11 festival that I'm putting together. And, you know, he had a lot of commitments and was being invited to Los Angeles, where all the other crystal skulls will be for 11/11/11. Machu Picchu invited Mario and Pancho to be at Machu Picchu for 11/11/11. And I threw my invite in there as well. So the next day, which was yesterday, Mario called me up and told me that Pancho will be with us at Zen. The most, I believe, important artifacts of our time, most valuable artifacts of our time from ancient Lumeria. This thing has been dated back thousands and thousands of years. And from experience, I have felt its energy. And this will be with us. This is our crystal skull. It's the new generation crystal skull, as Pancho is called. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. So I'm putting it out there that this Zen 11/11 is going to be the brightest, one of the most powerful festivals, celebrations on 11/11/11. And out of all of the sacred places in the world, Pancho, the only ceremonial hollow skull of the 13, will be with us at Zen. So that's a global announcement right there, because this festival is about the children, us, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the kids. It's a family event. There's no alcohol being served. It's about the children. It's about us. They are the leaders. They are the future. And this event is going to be something that will vibrate and ripple through the universe. And that I can promise you, because we're going to have so many talented, enlightened beings there. It's just going to be great. And you could always check out zen1111.com for more updates on that. So I just had to put that out there and put that energy out there, because it's on. And I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Mario and the Guardian and Pancho, and just send that light and love out to them. So turning back into the news, back to a little bit to 3D reality, because as we talked about last week, from what I understand, enlightenment is to be aware of everything. And being aware of everything means you got to hear the crap that's in the news. So going into that, now this just stuck out in my head. This was a headliner. Obama tells Israel to give back land it seized from the Palestinians. Woo! That is a headliner. Now, people know what that means. If U.S. cuts ties with Israel, that basically means Israel's thrown to the wolves over in the Middle East, and Pakistan, Iran, they have nukes. It's not going to get good. Another headliner, you know, spinning off of that, is China agrees to give Pakistan 50 fighter jets. Okay, so let's dig a little deeper. China's agreed to immediately provide 50 JF-17 fighter jets to Pakistan. Why? What's going on? Well, if you remember correctly, we pulled off that Obama bin Laden stunt. We went into Pakistan unannounced. We pulled off a stunt, another false flag. Osama bin Laden died in 01. And Pakistan basically kicked us out, closed their embassies down. Now, we know what's next. We can't get kicked out of Pakistan. We're the U.S., so we're either going to continue bombing without them giving us permission, or we're going to do a land invasion like we do anywhere else. So China has agreed to give immediately 50 fighter jets to Pakistan. And Obama, the same day, tells Israel to give the land back. So, warning people, you see what's going on here. Okay? Heads up. All right, moving along. The Japanese economy collapses. Quarter one. GDP drops at a double consensus rate. It's an epic nominal plunge of -5.2. Now, for anyone who is in the market or anything like that, you guys know what I'm talking about. Now, obviously, this was going to happen. I talked about it. Everyone's been talking about it on the show. They're downplaying this. They're downplaying the radiation in the water, the radiation in the air. It's crazy. If you don't know what that means, it's basically the Japanese economy, basically, it's just going to fall off a cliff. For one, it means Japan will literally be unable to purchase any more U.S. debt at all. And if anyone knows about the U.S. debt and how that works and how we get money and all that stuff, look into that. These are big problems that are going to be spiraling off of this, and this is just one of them. Also, just going back to the flooding we talked to, the historic U.S. flooding that's going on here in the U.S. and central, more than 70 years, central U.S. and all the different states. And, you know, this is just geoengineering at its finest. I'm sitting here all day long up in the mountains. I watch them spray chemtrails. I have pictures on my Facebook. I mean, it's redundant already. We know what's going on. It's man-made. Locals here who have lived there their whole life have never seen winters like this. It was 40-something degrees a couple days ago, entering summer. And locals here have never seen it. So all these experiences of these crazy weather patterns, it's not only the shift and the changes of the earth, but it's also this geoengineering that these shadow governments are trying to do. For one, one of the things they're trying to do is to reverse the pole. The pole, as we've talked about the entire show since I've started it, has left the North Pole. It's heading towards Siberia. It's currently at 70-something miles an hour. Now, if you look into what that means and when it gets to 100 miles an hour, 120, the pole's left. That's a fact. The shift has started. They're trying to reverse the pole. It's aligning with the galaxy, guys, so it's probably not going to work out, but the dark cables, the powers that be are doing everything they can. On a galactic update, from friends and other people I'm going to have on the show, I've been getting a lot of information of these black special op bases all around the world that have been targeting the Merkaba light ships and using scalar weaponry and other things like that to bring them down. It's you know, for one, they're using man-made technology, and they're not enlightened technology like the Merkaba light ships. So keep trying to do what you want to do, U.S., you know, and governments and everything else. It's not, you know, it's unstoppable, the alignment that's happening. It's aligning with the galaxy. So I don't think HARP or anything else could stop that. So geoengineering at its finest, know it, understand what it is, be aware of it. When you see rain clouds pop out of nowhere and mile-wide tornadoes wipe through, you know, Georgia and things of that nature, know that it's not only Mother Nature, it can be geoengineering, HARP, and people need to be aware of it because it's definitely going on and it's definitely affecting everybody on this planet. So check out HARP, geoengineering, Google it, YouTube it, and I'll learn more about it. This is an interesting article I found. Cell phones cause mysterious worldwide bee deaths, study finds. I've been following this for a couple years, reading about all the mysterious bees dying all around. Well, a new last June researchers in India, Punjab University, came to a similar conclusion when they recorded a bee population that put a cell phone into and other bee populations would not. The females in the bee population had decreased, and also their egg output also of the queen decreased. So this I thought was just interesting because our technology, just the signals of it, killing Mother Nature. You know, everyone thinks we're so technologically advanced and cell phones are so cool. But meanwhile, it's partially responsible for taking out honeybees, which is a huge part of our ecosystem. There's over 50 different types of honeybee populations in the United States alone. And if you know anything about bees and what they add to the ecosystem, they're very important. So here we go, cell phones. And we also talked about this a couple weeks ago or months ago, is on the cell phones with the trees. And it kills the trees, the cell phone signals. So again, cell phone technology hurting Mother Nature. Not the way to do it. Not the way to do it. There are other means to communicate in other ways, which we'll get into also talking to Jacques later on the show. And one last article. This is really awesome. Another major announcement from NASA. We had a huge one last week about NASA's time and space experiment. Finally got the results back. Einstein was right. There was a time and space vortex surrounding the planet, which woven together creates a fourth dimension. Huge announcement. Thank you, NASA, for admitting finally there are multiple dimensions. Well, they admitted one, but we know there are multiple dimensions. But this week, they announced free-floating planets may be more common than stars. Astronomers with NASA have discovered a new class of Jupiter-sized planets floating alone in the dark of space away from the light of a star. This is really big. I'll tell you why in a second. I'll continue in the article with: the team estimates there are about twice as many free-floating Jupiter-mass planets as stars. In addition, these worlds are thought to be at least as common as planets that orbit the stars, and this adds up to hundreds of billions of lone planets in our Milky Galaxy alone. Now, about a month ago, I talked about the new study from NASA on how many stars there were in our universe. It was 26 sextillion, which is a 26 with 24 zeros behind it. Now they're saying that planets are 2 to 3 times the amount of the stars. Just to give you a bigger idea of how big and vast this universe we live in, and vast with life. That is truth. So just a little fun fact for you. And with that, that is the news for the week. Some updates. As always, I'm going to have these articles posted on starseedenergyradio.com. So you can always go there, read these new articles, pass them along, YouTube it. And with that, I'll finish up the news. And joining us next is Jacques coming on talking about the Venus Project, one of the most, if not the most important projects of our time. And we're going to get into that, and we're going to continue to update you on the Venus Project and continue this in the months to follow with the radio show, because I'm supporting this, and I believe everyone needs to support this because it is the only sustainable way to go. And with that being said, I'm going to play another track. This is off a Deep Dish album of Moscow. This next song is called The Strong Rhythm. Goodbye. And welcome back. You're tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. And joining me live now is Jacques Fresco with the VenusProject.com. And also joining him today is Roxanne, the co-founder of the VenusProject.com. And thank you both for coming on the show. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you guys so much for joining me. And I want to first start off with just asking a couple simple questions to Jacques to get the listeners and the people who aren't aware of the Venus Project. What exactly is the Venus Project, Jacques?
If you don't want war, and if you don't want suffering, unemployment, and most of the problems that exist today, you have to declare the Earth's resources as the common heritage of all the world's people. And you have to outgrow the need for money. Money corrupts all people. In fact, if you're religious, it says in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. And Christ chased the money changers out of the temple. So what I'm saying is they're all back in now. They control the whole show. And it appears that every nation is corrupt. All the nations of the world really stole the land that they have. We took this land from the Indians, and we don't get the truth in our history books. You didn't know that George Washington had 300 slaves, did you? Well, I mean, if you had the truth on all these people, No politician ever increased the agricultural yield, gave us electric lights, airplanes, or anything. In fact, they don't even know how. So I suggest if you still believe in politics, ask any politician how you can increase the food yield in America or any place else. Ask them how you can prevent automobile accidents or how to prevent war between nations. Since they can't answer any questions, they were good 100 years ago. But today, we live in a different kind of world. And if you want to end the problems today, the Venus Project offers a possible solution.
Yes, and going into that, Jacques, so that resonated with me so much because that is exactly what I'm about, the people are about, because the people can see and feel these problems that are happening now. And this is what I believe the only sustainable solution, because our entire system is unsustainable, from ecological to educational to financial. Yes. And with the Venus Project, it's definitely one of, if not the answer, to solve all the problems. Now, going into the Venus Project, what do you feel is a good approach to implement the Venus Project into society? What is a good way to get people familiar with it?
Well, a good way is to teach them a good way is to teach people how to say three words: I don't know. Most people have opinions about everything, and they really ought not to. I remember asking people whether they ever thought man would get to the moon, and they said, not in 3,000 years. What they should have said is, I don't know. I don't know anything about rockets, space travel, therefore I can't answer it. You have to be ruthlessly honest in order to arrive at a saner world.
Absolutely.
Oh, I just wanted to follow up on your question, Jonah. Implementing the Venus Project first means introducing people to this direction because it is so different. So we have extensive information on our website. We have books and videos and films. And we're also working on a major motion picture. We think that's a wonderful way to introduce people to this direction, to show what life in a resource-based economy would be like. That's what Jacques came up with, the idea of a resource-based economy. Money is really an interference factor between what you want and what you can get. And today, it's shameful because we have the technology to house, feed, clothe everyone on Earth. And we don't have the money to do that, but we have the resources. So Jacques wants to go on what he calls a resource-based economy, where you don't need money, barter, credit, debt, or servitude of any kind. As he mentioned, you make the Earth's resources as the common heritage of all the Earth's people.
And that is the only way to do it, because the way we're doing it now is killing the resources, the financial system. There's a bank in every country in the world with the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergs run. And that right there is, you know, the financial system is backed by fictitious T-bills and derivatives, and that's backed by nothing. And it's just a made-up system to keep people trapped and down. And it's a horrible, horrible way to live. And with these concepts and ideas, we can change every aspect of our life, correct?
Yes.
Now, how do you see the end or the collapse of the present system occurring? Do you have an idea of what you think will happen?
Well, people have to lose their jobs, their homes, their cars before they even care about inquiring into another system. Every country raises people to believe in that country. In other words, I think that every human being is perfectly well adjusted where they're coming from. If you were raised as a baby in Nazi Germany, if you never saw anything else, never read any books, never traveled, you'd be a Nazi. I don't believe it's your fault. I believe it's you're a victim of culture. If you're brought in the United States, God bless America. Who the hell are you to tell God who to bless? How stupid can you be? We live in a very naive world, very childish. As you listen to politicians, you can see that. You don't need to take my word for it. They don't have any answers to problems. So I see people going through more and more misery as automation begins to take their jobs away. Most factories today are installing automation at a very rapid rate, and the machines are getting smarter and smarter, and they're replacing people. There comes a time when machines will replace most people, and they won't have the purchasing power to buy things. That's the end of the money system. Whether the Venus Project comes about or not, it's coming to an end. No system can freeze. There are no utopias, no ideal systems, no best laptop. If you design a computer, it's the best you know how to design up to now. But 3 years from now, it'll be smaller, lighter, faster, and do much more. There are no final frontiers.
And with all that being said, you said one of the most important things, which is the banks, the governments, they, and this goes out to all the listeners out there, it is the people, it is us that have to implement the Venus Project. The world governments are run by corporations and global elites that are about making money, and they are not going to allow this. So how do we implement the Venus Project? We stop abiding by their system, stop using their money, and we do this. That's the only way that I see to really get this done, and that's what I, you know, support and promote. So all the listeners out there, you have to support this and spread this, because this is the ultimate change, and this is where we're headed to. This is real sustainability. And Jacques, talking about governments, will there be a government?
No.
In the Venus Project?
No, government is only needed when there's scarcity. When you have, for example, if orange trees grew all over the world, you couldn't sell oranges. In other words, as long as there's scarcity, you can use money. And maintaining artificial scarcity, meaning planned obsolescence, designed things to wear out and break down, and you keep producing consumers. So the whole idea today of using technicians to design things to wear out and break down is against all the religious teachings and all fundamental operations that will sustain society. Do you know that engineers deliberately design bulbs to burn out, wear out, break down?
No, I did not.
Well,
I'm not surprised.
It's true with everything they design.
Clothing, everything.
Yes, and I recently heard from an engineer yesterday I was talking to that even the new solar powers, you know, cleaner energy, the grids that they built can't even accept that energy. So I was like, of course. And I wonder who built the power grids, the government. So now that we even have these sustainable technologies, the grids that they built won't even accept them.
Well, you have to understand that people today invest in oil. They invest in things, and they don't want to be bypassed. They want to get back their returns, what they spent. So you live in a horrible system. Somebody once asked me whether there'd be horror movies in the future. I think a movie about a present-day culture would be a horror movie in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're 100%. And for everyone listening, I know you know what Jacques is saying is truth. This is totally unsustainable. And talking about investing into oil, just a news flash. Have you known hedge funds, our firms, are buying up farms at an alarming rate since 2008? They've invested over $14 billion in buying up farms because they know of the unsustainability. So if that's not a heads up for people that now corporations and hedge funds are buying up all the agriculture farms in the world so they can control more of the food supply, these are really horrible times. And these are the signs that, you know, there's big changes coming, and the change is the Venus Project.
You understand that all nations are corrupt, not just our country. They are all utterly corrupt. And there's nothing you can do with politics. For example, a lot of people don't understand it when I said there'd be no politics in the future. Let me elaborate on that a little.
Sure, please.
Okay. You understand that, at least, Jonah, when I was a kid, a pilot used to look out of an airplane and he'd say, I'm about a mile high. With Doppler radar, it tells you exactly how high you are. You're 5,325 feet, 4 inches off the ground. No human can do that. So all military aircraft are equipped with Doppler radar because humans cannot handle that kind of problem. Now, also, some years ago, they found out that computers can handle 1,000 trillion bits of information per second. No group of humans can do that. So I see humans being phased out in terms of government. I know that's very hard to understand. It is not a machine takeover. They will be assigned decision-making because they can handle the problem better. Humans can only handle 7 different problems at the same time. Other than that, they go foggy. Machines can handle 1,000 trillion bits per second. That's why I say I see the future as machine-managed, but it is not machines taking over. They are being assigned those tasks. In other words, in the future, machines will be connected to agriculture, transportation, human disorders, cancer, heart disease, liver, so we know exactly how many cases we have. Now, here's who makes the decisions. Everybody wants to know who makes the decisions in the future. I'm going to try to answer that. No one. We arrive at decisions. In other words, first you have to study what the carrying capacity of the Earth is. Then you have to live in accordance with the carrying capacity of what the environment can provide. If you produce a population far in excess of the carrying capacity of the Earth, you're going to have territorial disputes. All behavioral problems are shaped by scarcity. I know you're not taught that. You're taught in school that we have freedom of choice, free will. No, we don't. You're brought up with a given value system, and you reflect your culture.
That's correct. So is the Venus Project a utopian society?
Not at all. There's no such thing. Whatever city I design will be a straitjacket to the kids of the future. They'll design their own cities. There are no final frontiers, no best house, no best laptop. And machines will never take over because they don't have any feelings or ambition. In other words, if you smash your laptop in the front of 20 other brand new laptops, they don't say, Jonas, we'll get you if it isn't this week or next week. We'll get you. They don't care. If you run your computer night and day, Saturday and Sunday, it doesn't say, hey, give me a day off, will you? They just don't care. The myth of machine takeovers comes from Hollywood. It always show a machine destroying the inventor or something like that. Machines have no feelings. They have no ambition. They don't care. They don't want to hurt anybody. It's man that drops bombs over cities. It's man that pollutes the oceans. It's man that kills his fellow man. Don't blame it on the machines. Even the guided missiles are operated by people.
I wanted to just clarify something here, too. So people understand the difference between today's system and a resource-based economy. Today's system, everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's taking care of themselves. Everybody, countries are grabbing scarce resources. Things are kept scarce to raise prices and continuously sell. The bottom line today is profit, not the well-being of people or the environment. They really don't care about you if they ship things abroad to be made, and they automate. They're doing it because the bottom line is profit. What they want is wealth, property, and power in today's system. And the resource-based economy takes the corrupt influence out of the system. We take money out of the system. We don't need it. The main aim is the well-being of people and the preservation of the environment, and turning it back to its as natural state as possible. So the direction and the values are very different.
You see, the Venus Project makes no decision. They arrive at them. Do you know what that means?
They co-create a decision together.
Well, they arrive at decisions by testing materials. In other words, no engineer says, I think this is the strongest material. They put it in a compression test, torsional test, tension test, and give you the results. There are no opinions. In other words, you're brought up to believe that plants grow. In school, they tell you that plants grow. They can't grow. They need sunlight, soil, temperature, all the ingredients from water. If the plant doesn't have that, they cannot grow. The same with human beings. They cannot grow without knowledge, without exposure to information. And as long as your country keeps you from understanding how the world works, what makes a criminal, what makes war, and they don't go into that. They just they draft people and teach them how to be killing machines. What we would do with soldiers is send them back to school and teach them how to become problem solvers. Do you understand? We have a lot of problems that are not being solved. Killing people does not solve problems. What it does is produce hatred over the future. Killing Osama bin Laden does not destroy the value system that he's brought up with. It's the values that he has and the way of thinking that's detrimental. Killing a man does not stop that. What we have to do is expose people to education, the new education of how we relate to nature. We are not a separate part of nature. We're part of nature. And how man relates to nature and his fellow man is what will be taught in school. Instead of drafting people in the army, which they do today, if you conscript people and you put their lives up for this country, you should conscript all the war industries so no one makes a profit. Then it's real. You'll never see that. War has always been big business, selling machine guns, warships for billions of dollars. So war has never been to bring democracy to another country. It's because they have oil, machinery, or cheap labor, or something we need.
That's right. And I think one of the most important and exciting things that you said is, with the designs you have of the Venus Project and the whole the city, it's a continuously building, you said. We continuously can update it, continuously improve it. We are that way of life, continuously evolving with this city, with this technology, with
that's
it together.
Utopias. There's no utopias because things constantly change.
That's right. And I also mentioned in here that, like, say, drug addicts and alcoholics, how would they enter into this system?
Well, first of all, they're victims of this culture. They're under stress and tension, and most people are under stress, particularly those on minimum wage. When you earn minimum wage, you can't buy a new car. You have to buy a used car, and the used car breaks down very often. And if your child starts coughing, you can't take a day off work and take him to the hospital. You can't afford it, so you hope by the morning he'll stop coughing. Well, if he doesn't, you have to take a day off work and sit in the clinic all day. The Venus Project works entirely different. I'll give you an idea. When a new machine comes in, we call everyone together. We say, you no longer work 8 hours a day. Now you work 4 hours a day because new machines are coming in. In other words, you give people the advantage of technology. You don't downsize. You know what I mean? Throw them out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, what are one of the ways, because I know just recently you started a global outreach to get support and raise money for the motion picture, which is very important. What is a way that just anybody, a person like me, an average Joe, could help with the Venus Project? What are some things we can do to help?
Well, we're just starting more activism. Go to our site, thevenusproject.com. There's a lot of information there, but look under Get Involved and then Global Activism, and that will give you a lot of information in terms of what we're looking for, what we're doing, or just get involved in your local state organization there, or if you don't see one in your state, then help start one, activist group that helps the Venus Project.
Jonas, we've been on a tour all over the world, a lecture tour, to present the Venus Project. So far, it's 99% accepted. Most people love it. There's nothing in it to hurt anybody. We don't want to kill anybody. We feel that the wealthiest people today will live better in the Venus Project than the monetary system. Because we feel that all human behavior is shaped by culture. If you don't understand what that means, if you, Jonas, were brought up in Australia, you might say, how are you, mate? If
yep.
You're brought up in England, you speak like an Englishman. A German, like a German. The facial expressions in France, la tour Eiffel, you'll speak just like a Frenchman. We all reflect our culture. It's very hard to outgrow and step outside of your culture and evaluate it unless you've traveled a great deal.
So will all people be alike? in this new way of society?
Well, in certain ways, they will be alike. They will all be against killing. They'll all be against prejudice of any kind. They will all be against war. They will all be against waste of resources. And they will all be for taking care of nature. So there's nothing matter with being uniformly and intelligently alike.
But when you take money out of the equation and you try and make goods and services available to everyone, just like the public library, you can consider it like that, but they can go into different buildings and check out in their access centers anything they want. If they're interested in music, you can check out all sorts of musical instruments. When you're finished, you can bring it back, or you can have instructions, or if you take out a camera, you can use it and go back and take out a more extensive camera and learn how to use that. So when people have access to the necessities of life and have a broader range of the things that they can do without restrictions of money, you know, people dare not dream today because it's painful. They can't. They don't have the money to follow through. But in the resource-based economy where you have access to things, people will be very unique in terms of being able to be multidisciplinarians. They would know a lot about a lot of different things.
And by living in this society, for one, you're going to be a conscious human being because you will be aware of everything and your surroundings because you will in this society be connected to it all.
Yeah, well, Jonas, we have a major problem, and that's the language we speak. The language was designed hundreds of years ago, so it almost makes it impossible to talk to other people. Whenever you talk to somebody, Jonas, you're talking at them rather than to them. I'm going to try to prove that to you. Sometimes if you're going away for a weekend, a person will say to you, have a nice weekend. If they were really, really free people, they'd say, have a nice life, not just a weekend. Do you understand, Jonas?
Yeah, so if you have a society like that, what are your safeguards against people that would try to take over power in that society? How would you safeguard against that?
Okay, first of all, there's no need to. There's no money. You can't make more money. You can't sell drugs. You can't have prostitution. There's no gambling. You can't pay off politicians. And if you do away with money, you've done away with 90% of the corruption. The rest of the corruption comes from scarcity. If people have access to the necessities of life, they do not steal. All human behavior, including serial killers, thieves, murderers, rapists, are all manufactured by society. I know that's difficult to understand. Now listen to the next bit. When I was 21 years old, I went to some remote island in the South Seas. When I arrived, there was hundreds of natives without any clothing at all. And I never saw a male on that island stare at a female body. They were swimming nude ever since they were children. And there was no need to collect pictures of nude girls. There was no nudie magazines. There were no fetishes and no peeping toms. Can you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You take out that element.
We are brought up under generate men's behavior. In other words, when women say, well, you know how men are, that's how they are in this society. They're all now, by the culture they live in.
Now, speaking of culture, what about religion? Is there religion? Now,
in the early days, Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm giving you the prose. And we cannot conceive of God. The man is a very simple organism, and he doesn't know where all this came from, so he invents stories. I once asked Einstein whether he believed in God, and he said, which one? There are so many different kinds of God. The Jewish God says if a man takes his son's eye out, you take his son's eye out. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The Christian God said when a man strikes you, turn the other cheek. You know, Larry King once asked me what I thought of Christianity. I said, it's a wonderful idea. When are they putting it into practice? I want to say this about Christianity. It's very difficult for man to conceive of where all this came from, how it came about. So sure. They invented a guy sitting on a throne who puts two people in a lovely garden. He's also omnipotent. God knows everything. And yet, Jesus, just before the crucifixion, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As though God said, gee, I never thought of that. Thank you. You know, we reduce God to some jackass, like a human being sitting on a throne judging people. He would not judge people. The environment they live in shapes their culture and values. And it also says in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say killing Wednesdays and Thursdays. It says thou shalt not kill. It says love thine enemy. It tells you judge not, lest you be judged. Now, what does all that mean? That means you're not supposed to do jury duty, because you don't know what the factors are that shape human behavior. You don't know what conditions people lived under that made them so vile. That's why he said, judge not, lest you be judged. We don't even understand what we're reading when we read the Bible.
It's written by man.
Jesus never wrote anything. And the reason that you have all these different denominations, because the Bible is subject to interpretation. When you read the Bible, you say, I think this is what Jesus meant. Another person says, you're wrong. He meant that. And a third person says, you're both wrong. This is why you have the Lutheran, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Catholic, because it's subject to interpretation. So we need a language that's not subject to interpretation. And that language is chemistry, mathematics, physics, science. When engineers talk to each other, they don't talk in generalities. They understand exactly what the other fellow means. When you write a chemical formula, send it anywhere in the world, they turn out a specific kind of plastic or material. They are not subject to interpretation. And as long as language is subject to interpretation, you can have lawyers who can take language and do whatever they want with it. All the great books have been removed from libraries and schools. I can tell you what the books are. If you look into our website, we have a list of books that are wonderful, that give you information, not fairy tales.
And talking with that...
I don't like what man has done to religion.
It's any religion. I've talked about this a lot in the show. Any religion that puts any type of fear into it is, in my eyes... Bobo, made up. It's God. God wouldn't hate or want you or give you rules. God teaches from the heart and to love everybody. So with that, I want to thank you both for joining me on the show, and I will definitely have you both back very soon. And we're going to continue to update my listeners and the show on the website and where the Venus Project is at. So thevenusproject.com, check it out. And thank you guys so much for both joining me, Jock and Roxanne.
Thank you, Jonah, for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. I'll speak to you guys soon. And for the rest of the listeners, we're going to play another track, wrap up, and we'll be right back after this. And welcome back. You're tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. Joining me on the air tonight was Roxanne and Jacques, and that was an awesome, awesome interview. And if you aren't familiar with the Venus Project, again, check thevenusproject.com. Jacques Fresco and Roxanne, thank you so much again for joining me. And we will have them on again and give people updates on that, because Jacques has it all down. Everything from the bottom to society to energy to transportation to social, I mean everything. So it's the way, it's the way we need to go. It's the only direction. And to give you an update, also got two new guests coming on the show. And next week will be Paula Moran, but two guests that I'm really excited about. I don't know when they're going to be joining me, but we are going to have the guardian of the Crystal Skull, Mario, joining me on the show probably within the next month. And also Peter Voltago, who is the CEO and co-founder of the Lumi Company. If you're familiar with the business Vitalizer, it's been on CBS, Fox News. He's also coming on the show. His newest book is Business Lessons from an Alien. Awesome, awesome. I spoke to Peter yesterday, and he's definitely going to, I'm sure, play a part in the show and also with Zen and some other things we got going on. So they're going to come on the show. Next week is Paula Moran. She's also an enlightened spiritual master. She has her own website, paulamoran.com, and she's an awesome guest. Spoke to Paula today. Anyone who's into not shamanism, but she's an emissary for Sancta Gamora. And she's a modern-day Bhatshativa, if I said it correctly. So anyone who's into, like, maybe Hinduism and stuff like that, is going to be an awesome guest to have on. She basically has a virtual ashram of Saint Gamora on her website. So that's pretty cool. So check that out. On June 3rd, we got Cyber Pixie coming on, the world's leading VJ. That's going to be an awesome interview with that enlightened being. Check out cyberpixie.com, PSYBERpixie.com. And we're going to be talking about the shift of 2012, how electronic music heals the soul, and a whole lot more. Coming up on June 10th, I got August Worley, the inventor of the paradigm, joining me. And this is an awesome, awesome metaphysical invention. I experienced it myself. It is a sound healing instrument. It is not a musical instrument. It basically incorporates full spectrum brain entertainment techniques using light as well as sound. It is an awesome, awesome thing. Check out August. It's AUGUSTARA.com. So AUGUSTARA.com. June 17th, I have John Lucas coming on, BeyondHealingJohnLucas.com. Now, this show, he is going to clear anybody of physical pain and delete it instantly from their life on the air. Check out his website, BeyondHealingJohnLucas.com. Some of his healing goes up to $30,000, $10,000. This guy is world renowned and will be on the show. So please, listeners, if you have anyone in your family or loved ones in any sort of physical pain from accidents, back, fibromyalgia, anything like that, have them call up the show. Do not miss this show. Please have them call in for some healing. On the 24th, I have Michael Elijah coming on, prepareforthelandings.com, and also vortexnetworknews.com and ufowest.com. Also, channelthemasters.com. He's joining me. Michael's going to be coming on. He's been giving me a lot of updates. Spoke to him the other day. He's probably going to come on more than once or twice. Me and him really connected. He's awesome. So, Michael, what's up? Anyway, so that's the next lineup. We got 6 weeks booked up with some awesome guests. Don't miss the 17th, because the 17th is really where it's going to be at with some healing. So any loved ones, please have them call up. And again, a very special thank you to Mario, the Keeper of the Skull, and Pancho, the new generation Crystal Skull that will be with us at the Zen 1111 Festival. Our skull, the Star Children's skull, will be with us. So that is huge. That's huge, people. That is such it's amazing. It's an honor to even be around that energy. So everyone will get to experience that, whoever attends the Zen 11. It's going to be a global transmission. It's going to be the largest, brightest event on the planet, I promise. I promise you guys, because the kids are powering it. That's us. So check out Zen1111.com. There's plenty of information on there. So big thanks to Pancho. And that's pretty much it, Star Fam. Check out starseedenergyradio.com or follow me on Twitter for updates. And this is it. Start spreading awareness. People are starting to wake up. The energies are here. You know, send them to this site. Send them to this show. Just get the truth out there, because the subjects we cover and talk about on this show, you can Google, you can YouTube, you could find out and learn about this stuff if you're just open to it. That's it. If you have been following our show, my show, our show, you will hear and feel with every week how our intent and our voices together will vibrate loud through this universe. We are all leaders, all of us, and this is our time. The Great Awakening has started, man. Science has already proved it. This is it. We're all leaders, and this is our time. So all the leaders need to start stepping into that role. Help me help you. We need to all work together. Like with the Venus Project, that's it, man. I'm telling you. That's it. That's New Earth. That's the way it has to be in New Earth. That's the way it's going to be. So we're almost there, but we got a lot of work to do beforehand. So with that being said, much of light and love to all the listeners of Star Children out there. And keep that vibration going. And tune in and listen. Keep it up. We'll see you next week.